Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Braddock's own John Clayton on the hotline for his weekly visit. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Chris. How are you?
Doing well, but I am a little bit leery after just having sat through months of one of the most protracted and stupid labor wars in the middle of a pandemic that I've ever seen, because there's only been one pandemic that has had labor wars in my lifetime, with baseball, and I'm fearing that the NFL is about to embark on same such. Can you explain to people just what the NFLPA is suggesting that the NFL wants to do here with this 35% escrow and how that works, the mechanics of it all?
Yeah, these are don't overread this. These are just negotiations. I mean, the NFL and the Players Association in a much better position than the idiocy that's Major League Baseball. And the reason they're in a much better position is like, well, you see they're going back and forth, but they're also getting agreements on things. You know, like, for example, last night they did have everything approved from the Players Association on the protocol for training camp. Okay, so that's now been accepted, where there were some issues that were there. Now they fix this up. Now it's a matter of, okay, you have to start figuring out what's going to happen with next year's salary cap, how to handle the the loss of revenue, and of course, because that affects the cap and what the players are going to get. So now the owners come up with a proposal that says, okay, we can keep do as less damage by putting everything in escrow and saving a little cap room this year. And they go, no, we're not going to do that. We're not taking 65 cents on a dollar and on a season like this, and we'll borrow it from next year's in future caps, which is that's going to be agreed upon anyways. So that's going to be there. Then, of course, you're talking about less revenue. You know, the owners wanted to have the two preseason games, to get a little bit of revenue. But, of course, the players are basically saying, no, we don't want any, and why risk it? Why do we have to risk our bodies and our viruses and everything else by trying to play meaningless football games? And I think they're going to win on that one. And, the players rejected the idea of having players come in, young players and quarterbacks, a week before camp, so they can kind of get acclimated, catch up a little bit. So there's just going to be some back and forth swaps like that. And then they'll probably get something resolved here by early next week at the latest.
What's the net effect here of all of this, John? Do you think that camps still open on July 28th like the NFL wants?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I don't see any change there because, and that's the thing that they keep citing, because, they had a joint committee at the medical staffs that, kind of reviewed things. And of course, the only disagreement on that one was the fact that they said you should have less preseason games, but they weren't defined. And the NFL half listened by saying, let's have two preseason games. And so, they come back and they say, no, we don't want any preseason games, but they can implement two preseason games. But now you watch team by team that, how teams are going to handle it. Because are you really going to make any money by playing a game in front of no fans? Like, for example, the Baltimore Ravens came out today and said, if there's going to be fans in the stands, there's only going to be 14,000 out of 71,000 in the stadium. All right. But he says, but right now, no season ticket holder is going to get any tickets. It's going to be available we'll figure that out if they can get to 14,000, but they're kind of figuring they're probably not going to have it down there. And then you start to look at many of the other cities, are they going to be approved by the local governments to be able to do it? I think right now there's going to be no preseason games.
Do you think that there ends up being a season with fans in the stands of any kind, or are they going to be playing these games in completely empty buildings when the actual games start?
I think that it's going to be judged on a city-by-city basis and you know where it's going to be. Like, for example, the Buffalo Bills have been informed that the state's not going to allow them to have any games, and so anybody in the stands. So we already know that that's going to be there. And, of course, to make that judgment with as bad as everything spiking in you know, 6 or 7 key states around the country, like Florida and Arizona and Texas and California and that, I mean, you have to wonder, is that going to be allowed? Because you know, a lot of these, you know, like for example, you go down to Miami, and Miami's still in phase one with 27% of those being tested, testing positive. So when you look at the big picture right now, I can't envision as bad as it is because, you know, here it is, this thing, all we started in March, and now nationwide, we are worse than we were in March. And if that's going to be the case, I think there's more growing odds that there'll be no fans in the stands. But again, I think you can take it on a, you know, month-by-month, two-month basis to see if you can get into the season and things lighten up or not.
Our NFL insider, John Clayton, joining us here on the PM team. Well, to that end, John, so I have that quote from J.C. Treader, the Players Association president, saying, and I know this was probably also part of the negotiations, the NFL just thinks that the virus will bend to football, and they're sort of not going business as usual, but they just think this is going to resolve itself. I feel when you put it in the terms you just did about Miami and about how the cases are higher nationwide than they were when we started, we're setting records by day. I know a lot can change in a couple of months, but that does not imbue me with a lot of faith that they're actually going to have a season if these numbers stay this high.
Yeah, but what you're seeing is if things are handled, you know, better than baseball, you know, certainly better than soccer. I mean, Major League Soccer. I mean, they come up and you know, they only had 2 weeks. And so, like, the first game was supposed to be played and it's already been canceled. Well, it's like, are you going to ramp this up in 2 weeks? I mean, you look at baseball, like the Giants, what, it's taken over 7 days to get their tests back. And, like, in the case of the Angels, I mean, you had nobody even show up for tests. You know, the testers didn't show up on Saturday, Sunday. Well, as long as the NFL can execute the protocol well, I mean, you're in a safer situation because at least, you know, you have two places that you can, well, three places you can go. I mean, you can go and be at the facility. You know, they already worked it out, so there's not going to even be indoor meetings with coaches. I mean, that's all going to be on Zoom. Then you can see that if there's going to be any meetings on the outside, then there's going to be meetings like that. I mean, the Players Association is recommending, and this is cutting jobs, is like, hey, we should have a smaller training camp. We should have 80 instead of 90, and you know, they're still working on that. But you know, the three places are going to be the team hotel, where you can do some isolation and things of that nature if necessary, the facility, which is going to be you know pretty well controlled, and then home. And, of course, the big thing is to stress to every player on the team, don't go out and party. Don't do it. It's like, because then you're risking everything. Because, I mean, you can see right now the biggest problem that's there as far as that is, you know, people between the ages of 20 and 36 going out and partying, not wearing any masks and, you know, getting people sick and getting themselves sick.
Well, that's, again, where I get nervous is you can tell players to do that all you want, but, I mean, you know this better than I do. Guys have not, granted, not with a pandemic going on, but guys have been told don't go out and party and absolutely go out and party. And that's happened since, you know, the NFL has existed, I would imagine.
Yeah, but now one of the things they did work in, and I think it has been approved by the players, is that, you know, if you're caught doing that, I mean, you can either be fined, suspended, or put on the NFI list. I mean, you can lose money because, you know, if you come back, you know, with a virus, I mean, you know, I know that like in the state of Florida, they hardly have any tracers. You know, there's going to be so many tracers on these NFL teams. If you're going to be traced back to, you know, a bar and you're caught doing that, I mean, you risk your job or you risk, you know, obviously other people. But, you know, you can put your position in jeopardy if you do that. So, I mean, you know. Not all players are going to adhere to that, but again, you're going to see you know, that there are ramifications if you do that.
John, we've seen the NHL come out with a very detailed phase 3 and 4 plan, and I actually do think it's impressive. It's the league with the least revenues of the major four sports in this country, but they do have what seems like a very comprehensive plan to return here for training camps and then their actual bubble in their 24-team tournament. In your experience, do you think the NFL, just with by far, I would think, the largest number or largest amount of resources to throw at a problem like this, do you feel like they have good people and sort of a good infrastructure, good people calling the shots to logistically handle the coronavirus and put a season on?
Yeah, I think so. I think that there's enough good people working on it because, I mean, you know, they're trying to readjust and adjust and try to see as they're going along what's the right things to do, not knowing it's like, okay, and they do have a little bit of at least a heads up by seeing the mistakes made by baseball and maybe some of the other sports. You know, the NHL did a good job. I'm really liking what I'm seeing of J.C. Tretter, the new head of the Players Association. I think that he's been pretty spot on a lot of stuff. Like, for example, the NFL wanted to have that mini camp in the last week or so of June. And he says, no, we can't do that. And he was right. So I think he's been ahead of the game so far. And, you know, I think even the push, even though it's not popular, saying no preseason games, you know, I think is right on because, you know, the one thing that he brings up, and I know because I study this all the time, you know, in 2011, which was the last year when there was no off-season program, I mean, you get a big spike in ACLs. There was 10 Achilles tears in the first 12 weeks. And it was double the previous year, and hamstring tears were 44% more than the previous years. And so, you know, you're risking a lot of players right now that you know are going to get injuries. And also, you also know that guys coming in, if there's going to be a 5% rate of positive tests, you're going to have about 150 guys that are going to test positive.
John Clayton joining us for a few more minutes, our NFL insider. All right, we've talked about, you know, all these logistical things. Let's get down to the story everyone wants opinions on. Patrick Mahomes, richest deal in American professional sports history in total value. If he basically gets to the AFC title game every year and wins a ton of MVPs, he could stretch this thing all the way to $502 million, John. Did either side get the better of the other here, or is this a mutually beneficial contract?
Believe it or not, for a contract this big, it's a team-friendly type of contract. And I say team-friendly, you know, it's not in the same vein as Tom Brady, but it's also in the same generosity of Patrick Mahomes. And I say that because, you know, take a look at the way the deal breaks down. You know, do you realize that he doesn't get more? He basically is making the same amount of money he was scheduled to make, $27.2 million, in the first 2 years of the contract. Yeah, he gets a $10 million signing bonus, but again, he doesn't get much more than he was making. And so then it starts to go, and then it goes for 10 years at $45 million, but most of the years, like the cap numbers, like 44, you know, they gave him, you know, the ability in the first like 6 years of the contract that you have a 2 year window where if you're on the roster and they keep you on the roster, then you'll get your guarantees. But like, he only got in as far as guarantees, $63 million. That was it as far as, you know, the total guarantee upon signing. And so when you look at this deal, you can see it can be trouble because if you take it as a 12-year deal at 477.2, then that works out to be a little over $39 million a year. And so you know that if you're going to be Deshaun Watson, if you're going to be Dak Prescott, if you're even going to be Russell Wilson, I mean, Russell Wilson's going to be the next one to try to top this deal. But you know that you're going to get two contracts, at least two contracts, in the time that Mahomes is there. So if you play well, you're going to be able to make Mahomes' contract look outdated by the middle of the 220s.
Do you think there's a chance that if Mahomes plays exceptionally well, they win more titles, that the Chiefs come back to the table, rip it up, and give him a new one?
No, I don't think so. I mean, again, if it looks like he's so outdated, maybe they would, because I think they'll take care of him. But, you know, and you heard Patrick yesterday, he said that he did this deal so they could try to keep as much of the team together as they can. And so, you know, this gives a chance that maybe they can get something done with Chris Jones. And basically, in doing this long-term deal, because, you know, technically the problem that the Chiefs had is that they didn't know what the cap's going to be next year. And so that's why Patrick was able to give the flat cap, flat number the first 2 years to get around that. Because, you know, if you don't have that $10 million bump that's been there forever now, since 2013, then it's like, okay, we got problems with this. And so now it's a matter that you can go slowly through this and, you know, make it all work.
Last one for you, John, before we let you go, and it's on the subject of Mahomes. I'm sure you're well aware when quarterbacks get paid at top of the league dollar in terms of the percentage of the cap they take up, and I know that doesn't kick in for Mahomes right away, but when they get to that point, they don't win Super Bowls. I went back just to 2009, and no quarterback who was making top dollar relative to the cap at that position won the Super Bowl. Do you think Patrick Mahomes is the kind of unique talent that's going to buck that trend in the years of this deal where he is making the bigger money?
Yeah, and the reason why, you know why they didn't win the Super Bowls? Because Tom Brady won 9 of them in the 20 years that he was there.
Six of them.
It to the Super Bowl. I mean, because, again, it's a quarterback-driven league, and if you don't have the quarterback, I mean, you're not even going to be in the Super Bowl. But it's like, the reason they didn't win Super Bowls is because Tom Brady was winning 9 of them. I mean, he played 9 of them and won 6 of them. And so, that's why, you look in the AFC, particularly in that one stretch, you only had until Mahomes did it, you only had, 4 or 5 quarterbacks that won Super Bowls. And it was Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, Joe Flacco, Peyton Manning, and that was it. Then Mahomes comes in and he does it. So, again, it's kind of a skewed stat because, again, it does, it hurts you, it shortens your window, but you can still win a Super Bowl with a high-paid quarterback. Go ask Peyton Manning that.
John Clayton, our NFL insider and the pride of Braddock. We always appreciate it, John. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.